WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. President Biden addressing the nation and pledging unwavering support for Israel 4 days after the Islamic group Hamas carried out deadly attacks across Israel. The president says the U.S. is doing all it can to locate more missing Americans and denounce the brutal attacks and killings of Jews.
This was an act of sheer evil. More than 1,000 civilians slaughtered, not just killed, slaughtered in Israel. Among them, at least 14 American citizens killed.
Israeli forces have carried out hundreds of airstrikes in the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip. Hamas militants have also taken 150 people from Israel hostage and are holding them in Gaza. The U.S. is also working to find out more about Americans still missing in Israel. The House Republican Conference is holding a candidate forum to select a new Speaker of the House. This is ABC News. With the House of Representatives unable to act without an elected speaker, the U.S. is weighing options for aid to Israel, while some lawmakers are resisting further aid to Ukraine. ABC's Karen Travers reports.
The White House says the U.S. has enough resources to support both Ukraine in its war against Russia and provide assistance to Israel as it fights Hamas. The White House has been putting pressure on Congress to approve billions of dollars for Ukraine, but a vocal group of House Republicans have pushed back. Now, lawmakers from both parties on Capitol Hill are starting to discuss whether Ukraine aid could be tied to funding for Israel. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
4 L.A. County Sheriff's deputies were hurt after an explosion and fire during a training exercise at a detention center shooting range. 2 of the 4 officers were critically hurt and no inmates were involved. Less than 24 hours after they went on strike, Canadian auto workers have reached a tentative agreement with General Motors. About 4,300 walked off the job at midnight after contract negotiations failed. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin state investigators are now examining a fatal officer-involved shooting in Rice Lake over the weekend. The incident occurred after Rice Lake police received a call from a woman claiming to have been stabbed around 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. When authorities arrived on the scene, the suspect had barricaded himself into an apartment. After unsuccessful attempts to convince the man to surrender peacefully, the suspect allegedly charged at officers with a knife, compelling them to use lethal force to subdue him. Wisconsin health officials are calling for residents to get tested for syphilis after a jump in statewide cases. According to a WTAQ report, reported syphilis cases jumped by 19% from 2021 to 2022. Cases of congenital syphilis, where a pregnant person with syphilis passes the infection to an unborn baby, rose from 16 to 29. Craig Berger, DHS Syphilis Surveillance Coordinator, cited a lack of testing as the reason for the increase in the infection. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wish Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at wiscaregiverscdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Takeout order at cafelatte.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt and Patrick, how are we today, Patrick?
I'm very nervous. First pitch of the Twins game about to get underway.
Thank God you're paying attention to the show.
All right.
The last two times we had day games when you weren't here last week, it was basically me and Brett going, yeah, something. Something. Wow. I mean, they weren't exactly the most cohesive shows I've ever had. I did bring you the T-shirt today.
I did. Yeah, I there you go. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to have a. We'll have to show the T-shirt on the camera a little bit later on. I got you guys. I found you Viking shirts, which all for you, Brett, and Broadcorp as well, are Vikings guys. So, I mean, I got yours and Broadcorp. For some reason, I did not get Brett yet. So, there you go. You get to enjoy that. The first pitch, we got Gray on the mound today.
Yep, against Christian Javier for the Astros. A guy with a 4.50 ERA, the Twins should light up, but will probably have two hits against
him. Yeah, two hits, innings. And then they'll light up Gray in the first inning for six or something like that. God forbid. They got Royce at third. Is that the right call?
I think it's the right call because I don't know if there was a little bit, I know he had the hamstring issue. I don't know if it was a little bit of gamesmanship that, you know, they didn't want teams to think about how athletic he could really be, because you saw there was a play where he was caught off of third base and kind of went, well, actually, the hammy looks like it might be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and I think that and nothing against Jorge Polanco at third, but he's had a few mistakes. You know, the reason why Carlos Correa had to make that amazing play at home plate was because our third base play is not exactly as strong as it needs to be. And you can always, I mean, if you always have questions about it, you can always pull the guy out. You know, that's for sure. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A lot to get to there. I got to tell you the truth. JB Bogosian is going to be, in studio. This queer book saved my life. I can't tell you. It was funny. I saw him a few weeks ago and I said, man, I got to have you on my show. And he was like, what you're doing. And I, you know, it really is. It's like when I talk with Robert, Native Roots Radio. It's radio you just don't hear anywhere else. And whether you're looking at Native Roots Radio or you're looking at This Queer Book Saved My Life, these are shows that are doing good. I mean, it's not just this yammering chimp fest that I've got here. You know, this. You know, and did they just let some guy roam into the studio? Yeah, that's it. But these guys are actually doing stuff which is important, and I can't tell you how pleased I am that I get to talk to, JP coming up here in just a little bit. And, I think that that's going to be a hoot. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Patrick, you do get the ability to break in if all of a sudden, you know, you've got a major update on the game. Right. One thing though I can't do is we can't put the game up here. We're the last few games of the Toronto series, we had them up on the screen and they were reflecting here. And it was me just like, wow, yeah, Democrats, Republicans. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it was. So we can't put it up there on the screen because I'll just get too distracted. So, and plus the fact that I've got a cornucopia for you here today. I have a cornucopia. By the way, just one thing I should mention. Ryan's going to pitch tomorrow, right? Ryan's on the slate for four?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that. He can't give up the home runs. But you've got such, you know, let's face it, if it's a clinching game, you have Ober, you have Kenta Maeda. I got faith they can put together seven innings between the three of those guys.
And the other good news is it sounds like the Astros are not going to put Justin Verlander back out there tomorrow.
No, they're planning on, their hope is to get back to Houston for, you know, if they don't sweep here, if they get back to Houston and Verlander versus Lopez on game five, which would be pretty amazing. But we'll have to see. But today, Gray today, Ryan tomorrow for sure. Go Twins. Go Twins. And I got the, I can't put it on my headset. There you go. All right, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So today I posted, if you go to the social media pages, I posted a workout picture of myself. I got to tell you, I look hot. I am, wow, look at that. That is a disturbing man. Think Lurch, only not as attractive. There it is. It's me in the gym. I posted this today for this reason. And I also posted with this, I can't tell you how happy I am with this. This actually happened on Monday. I ran 2 miles on an elliptical and I did it in 14:42. That's kind of basically where I was before a drunk driver hit me and broke my back. That was 10 months ago. 10 months ago, it was a Saturday on December 10th. I was being taken in to have screws and rods put into my back to hold my T4, T5 back together. T5, T6, T4, T7 is where they have got the screws and the hold everything back together. It came together nicely. It's been 10 months and I still have numb spots in my back. I still can't bend over to pick up things to save myself. I've got to be careful with heavy duty lifting. There's a lot of little things that I've got to be careful with that are a problem, that are undeniably a problem. And yeah, I am concerned. I am concerned about some of these things. Now, that all being said, I am recovering and I've got a lot to be grateful for, and I am grateful for a lot of things. It's given me a lot of different perspective on things. And I really do feel as if there is there's a blessing that I have, that I've the amount of damage I've had is something I can come back from. That being said, if you're a fan of this show, you know that I am no longer tolerant of a situation of people drinking and driving. I'm just not very tolerant of that at all. And it is incredibly frustrating to have situations where I see people who should know better. We have in this day and age, we have Uber, we have Lyft, you have cabs, you have mass transit, you have a friend who can drive you, who's sober, you can just stay at home. Or you can just not drink. Got plenty of options on the table. Instead, you decide to jeopardize people and endanger people and get the road and drink and drive. And I don't care which party you're from. We had the guy from the North Country earlier this year. We had a guy from St. Cloud, a DFL from St. Cloud. I'll criticize and rip on anyone. We got that guy. Now, the lawyer, you can't necessarily say. They have half an hour, 35 miles away from the accident. He was drunk, but I don't know if they have the evidence to say that he was definitively drinking and driving when he hit the construction worker. Needless to say, though, I don't have any tolerance for it. I have zero tolerance. I understand. You always go like, I wasn't trying to hurt anyone. Yeah, that was what the guy was saying to me that blasted into the back of my car. And once again, I would not be alive today if not for the structural integrity of a Toyota Sienna. I would not be alive today if not for that. I can't. That's a fact. That is a fact. And this guy could have killed me. And anytime you go on out and you're drinking and driving, you could do the same thing. Freshman State Representative Breon Curran was charged Tuesday with 2 misdemeanor counts of drunken driving after a test found the Democrat's blood alcohol level to be 0.16, double the legal limit. Before arresting Curran on a suspicion of driving under the influence, Chisago County received 2 calls complaining about her speed, weaving and veering into a ditch, according to the dispatch. Shortly after 2 a.m. on Monday, the first report to dispatch complained of a vehicle going at an excessive speed in the and over lane lines. The sheriff's office had said the second caller reported the vehicle weaving into a ditch. According to the charges filed on Tuesday, the Chisago County Sheriff deputy found Curran driving slowly on the shoulder with hazard lights flashing and a flat front tire on the driver's side. There also appeared to be fresh damage to the driver's side front corner, the charges state. The deputy asked her and what was going on, and she responded that she wasn't sure and was trying to get home, according to the charges. Curran told the deputy that she thought she was in St. Paul, and the deputy noted that she had bloodshot, watery eyes, and slurred speech, per the charges. Curran reported that she had had three drinks. A state representative showed signs of impairment during one field sobriety test, but declined to take an additional test or a preliminary breathalyzer, according to the charges. Test taken just before 3:30 a.m. on Monday at the Chisago County Jail found Curran's blood alcohol to be 0.16. She remained in jail Tuesday, could not be reached for comment. News release from the Chisago County Attorney said Curran's next hearing is set for December 12th. Curran represents District 36B, the northeastern Twin Cities metro that includes White Bear Lake, Gem Lake, and Birchwood Village. The state website lists Curran's non-legislative career as social services. Her campaign website, she is a former police officer who was once a deputy of the Chisago County Sheriff's Office, the same agency that arrested her. Curran ended up her career in public safety voluntarily in May of 2018 after enduring post-traumatic stress disorder as a licensed police officer, her campaign website says. It sounds like you were so schnockered you had no idea where you even were, which is terrifying, which is just terrifying. You know, I gave up drinking years ago, and there was a medical issue with that, but it was as well. I was noticing at the time there was a lot of people in media who were getting busted for drinking and driving. And, you know, and for a while there, and I don't know if it's still the case, I haven't really heard too many cases of it. It was an instantaneous, you're fired, you're gone. Drinking and driving, you were gone. I mean, it was they'd come on out and they say, we really hope he does better or she does better. We hope that they can get the treatment they need. Unfortunately, they're no longer employed by this, you know, this network, this outlet, whatever the case may be. And that kind of resonated with me. I said, is this really doing me any favors? And it's funny because if you give up alcohol, I mean, I don't have any problem. You want to drink, fine. That's on you. I could care less. Just don't get behind the freaking wheel of a car and start driving if you've been drinking. That's just plain stupid. It terrifies me. It terrifies me leaving that Vikings game that I was at earlier this year and seeing the condition of some of the people walking out and just saying, please tell me someone else is driving. Please tell me that person's not driving the car. Please tell me they're taking the light rail or they're taking an Uber or a Lyft. Tell me something. That's going on here. I don't have any problem with you having a drink. I have a problem with you basically being so drunk that you can't function properly. That's exactly what was going on here. And I get it. Alcohol makes your skews your judgment in the wrong direction. And so you say to yourself, well, I can make this, I can drive this. You know, and the reality is that you have to make the idea, the argument that you have to keep things in perspective. You have to keep things in perspective that if you've been drinking, that you cannot drive your car. End of story, end of discussion. Representative, I hope all my best. I hope that you get the help you need and the situation, you know, you're taking care of what you need to take care of. But the reality is it is deeply disappointing that this is where you are at. And I definitely can make an argument, whatever friend she was with, they didn't do you any favors. But at this, you know, and by letting you get going, but at the same time, you have to bear responsibility for your own actions. And I have very little on this. You know, Patrick, sometimes I guess I'm a little prophetic when it comes to sports. What's the score right now in the top of the first inning?
1-0 Houston.
No, it's not. It's 4-0. They got a 3-run home run.
Okay.
They got a 3-run home run. I said that this could be, hopefully this is not going to be the game where basically they get into a hole early. But, you know, this is what the Astros are trying to do. They're trying to take care of business. And if you went in there thinking to yourself that they weren't going to be trying in the first inning, well, you just learned your lesson. So stop the bleeding right now. Get back out there, and you've got a lineup that can put runs on the board. You better start doing so. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Will Dean Phillips have a challenger? We'll talk about that when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
No matter if you're eating out or cooking something at home, EatLocalMinnesota.com has you covered with a list of locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. Locally owned Vinaigrette has been offering the finest olive oil and vinegar since 2009. Reintroduce yourself to all the many flavors by tasting before you buy. From dark or white balsamic to cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil from all over the world, there is something for everyone. Vinaigrette, located at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, or at VinaigretteMN.com. The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for fun. Enjoy the fantastic food like their pizzas, burgers, and sandwiches, the best bowling in Minnesota, their wildly popular outdoor patio, great drink specials, all the big games on their numerous screens, and it's the perfect place for your next private event, even large gatherings for over 200. The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for everyone. Have fun at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
Ugh. 4-0. It's 4-0 now. The Twins have got to win two games. You got three games to do it, so get to work. Get to work. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We've talked a little bit about Dean Phillips and how he is indeed kind of rubbed some people the wrong way in regards to his comments about Joe Biden, wanting him to retire, not wanting him to be at the top of the ticket. He's even kind of hinted at or floated the concept of the idea that he might even run for president himself, which, okay, fine. But something which I am not in the least bit surprised about is apparently there are some rumblings that he might get a primary challenge in the Minnesota 3rd District. The Democratic National Committee official is putting together a campaign infrastructure in anticipation of a potential primary bid against Dean Phillips. Credible intra-party challenges to congressional incumbents are rare, but Phillips has rankled many of the Democratic establishment with his musings about primary challenges against Joe Biden. Well, no, and I want to make sure I point this out. Last year, before the election, way before the election, and like I said, Dean Phillips wasn't in jeopardy of losing his seat. For him, before even the midterm elections, to be insisting that Joe Biden needed to step aside and a new candidate needed to run, was not only was that irresponsible and disrespectful to Joe Biden, who had won the presidency, but as well, it really screwed over pretty much every other Democrat running, because instantaneously there were questions from pretty much every Democrat running saying, do you agree with Dean Phillips? Do you? And that was an unforced error. And you put a lot of other Democrats into a difficult situation where they had to defend or knock down a ludicrous argument that was taking place. That was a mistake, but it's this whole thing where you kind of keep rattling around, and you know, this is, I mean, I criticized him the other day about his call for a full-fledged, you know, or implication that there should be a full-fledged ground war against Iran if they are found to be involved in this, the incident with Israel and Hamas. And I was like, you understand what you're asking for there? I mean, because that's not a few missiles and we're done. That's years of protracted war, ground war, trillions of dollars, probably a million troops. That's, I mean, it's a country one quarter the size of the United States. You're not going to just be able to, and it's huge. You're not going to be able to just, you know, throw a few rockets in there and they're going to say, uncle. That's just not how it's going to happen. But that's different. This, I don't, I mean, there are a lot of people, and I got to tell you the truth, is the times I've talked about Dean Phillips, there is a shocking amount of Democrats who are like, why? And I'm not talking the loony liberals. I'm talking moderates who are like, why is he doing this? A lot of, I know a lot of moderates in his district who are like, why are you doing this? Ron Harris, a 33-year-old DNC executive committee member and Midwestern caucus chair, has been begun staffing up in a sign of a seriousness about to run. And I'll tell you what, this is, here's where it gets really serious, because he's bringing on some people on board that are, yeah, this is for keeps. Harris has hired George Hornado, a former top aide of Pete Buttigieg's 2020 presidential campaign, and the campaign is in the process of interviewing consultants, according to someone familiar with the matter. Harris has suggested his bid would be influenced by whether Phillips ran for president, but has not ruled out a primary challenge if the three-term congressman opts for re-election instead. Phillips, who recently relinquished his positions in the Democratic leadership over his opposition to not renominating Biden, has caught the ire of many Democrats in Congress and beyond. In a telling sign, DNC chair Jamie Harrison said of Harris at the DNC's fall meeting in St. Louis on Thursday, "I'm very much with him every step of the way, whatever he decides to do," according to video by Axios. Phillips' resignation as a co-chair of the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee came after a colleague, Representative Sidney Kamlinger Dove of California, criticized his comments about Biden in a closed-door caucus meeting. So now we're hearing there indeed was a closed-door meeting and that Dean Phillips was taking some grief about this. And once again, and Dean, you can say anything you like. You brought this on yourself. You know, if you are relatively soon after the election screaming about how that guy better not run again, even though he's been pretty successful, you know there's going to be some pushback on that. Phillips, who has never faced a serious primary challenge, won all three of his general elections in the one-time swing district by over 10 percentage points. Like I said, he didn't need to say a dang thing last year about Joe Biden. He was going to win that seat. That was not even a question. But, yeah. Multiple political operatives in Minnesota told Axios they don't see a clear path for the same party challenger to win at this time. I don't know about that. I'm going to just tell you right now, I know a lot of people who are kind of pissed off at Dean Phillips. And reminder, primaries are kind of run by the more liberal side. In the Republican side, it's the more conservative side. In the Democratic side, it's the more liberal side. And I mean, I'll never forget, I had Dean Phillips on here his first year he ran. He came in here and he was Johnny Progressive. You know, he was talking about all his progressive policies and progressive stances and things like that. You know, I don't know how much he resonates necessarily with the progressive voice of the Democratic side now, but I can tell you right now, just like I said, there's a lot of Democrats who seem to be upset with him in his own district. So Americans are demanding more competency in elections, not less, Phillips said in a statement at Axios, resonant of what he said in his advocacy of Biden primary challenger. I welcome other candidates in the next race in the Minnesota 3 because everyone's invited, he also added. Well, you're going to need a good answer. You're going to need a good answer. That not, and I want to, Dean, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice here, and I understand I am a howler monkey, a trained chimp. I get that. But I've watched enough of this stuff, and you need to have an answer for a few different things. One, you can't just go out there and like, I like to work with the other side. That's going to get you killed in the primary. You try this other side crap, you're going to be done. I don't care what these experts say. Nothing will burn your bridges faster when you're trying to appeal to the Democrats, telling people how much you want to work with Republicans. All right. Second of all, you're going to need to explain to everyone exactly why Joe Biden, who has had one of the most successful first terms in the history of this country, should not be running again without saying old people should go away, because you really kind of, you know, you keep saying fresh blood, you know, new perspective, but what you're really saying is he's too old. And the, you know, as long as he seems to be pretty competent, and lately he seems to be pretty competent, he seems to be running the rest of the Republican Party in circles. You're going to need to have an answer to that, because regardless of what you think, no, the majority of Democrats do not want to replace Joe Biden. The majority of Democrats don't. And the other thing is this, is that you're going to have to win over labor. And I can tell you right now, one of the narratives I've heard from people who are in your district who are pro-union is they don't feel that you're on their side. They don't feel like you're on their side, because you're going in, and it's nothing against anything you've said or anything like this. Joe Biden is clearly the most pro-union president we've ever had. And here you are saying he should go. That's a narrative, and that's a visual you're going to need to address and fix if you're going to have any chance at being able to, you know, knock off a primary challenger. I firmly believe Minnesota 3 is now out of reach for the Republicans, that, you know, unless there is a truly atrocious Democratic candidate that just the Democrats can't get excited about, that and on top of it, an exceptional Republican candidate that the Republicans, you know, that seems to be drawing away moderate Democrats, I don't think there's a chance. I'm going to just remind you of one thing. I have watched Minnesota 3 for many years. I have seen way too many Democrats try to do the "I want to work with the other side" as this narrative. And then about, 4 or 5 weeks before the election, they're calling me up saying, "Hey, progressive buddy, I need to get on your show and talk about my progressive cred." And that tells me that right now it's like, oh, you're about to get beat pretty bad. That the guy that's been screaming about, "I don't need the left side of my party," is all of a sudden like, "I'm a born-again Wellstonian." Yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. When we do come on back, of course, a very popular podcast, "This Queer Book Saved My Life." J.P. Derbogosyan is going to join us in studio to talk about the podcast and the new season that's coming up. That's up next. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Join Twin Cities Quorum as they celebrate their 30th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon. This inspirational and transformational event gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, and in our faith, and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than just being out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 13th. This year's National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m., and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $60 or non-members for $75. Learn more and purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com on the events page. That's TwinCities, Q-U-O-R-U-M.com.
2023 is here, and you can make it the year of the Eagle with the National Eagle Center. You and your family can enjoy exciting eagle experiences, including field trips, private habitat tours, and exclusive behind-the-scenes tours. Meet live eagles up close, view bald eagles and golden eagles in the wild, and receive personal one-on-one education with dedicated and knowledgeable eagle experts as you journey into the world of eagles like never before. Learn more and plan your unforgettable eagle experience today at nationaleaglecenter.org/experiences.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Is your home ready for the holidays? Be honest, how does your carpet look and smell right now? Okay, maybe you have a carpet disaster on your hands, but that's why you should call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Some people hire a deal of the day carpet cleaner to save a little money, but trust shouldn't come that easily. Don't DIY it. Call Zero Res because you know it's safe and effective. That's why this month you can get 3-room Zero Resified starting at just $149 and take $75 off when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM950 special. Spell it forward or backward, it's the same. Zero Res. Refresh, restore, and protect your investment. Call Zero Res to clean your business the right way so your floors and surfaces stay cleaner longer without the harmful chemicals the other guys use.
Hi, this is Ken Hankland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our live call-in talk show airing every Saturday from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights you need to know to live and age well. Each week, we talk with guests who provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and self-care for caregivers and help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 on AM 950 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Mental health challenges among our youth have reached crisis levels post-pandemic. Anxiety, depression, trauma, and addiction are at unprecedented levels among teens and young adults. Parents, if your adolescent, teen, or young adult is struggling with mental health challenges, empower them with a fresh start at Hazelden Betty Ford. Hazelden Betty Ford can provide a clear path forward for you and your children in network with most insurance. This message is brought to you by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 55. Tonight, clear with a low around 40. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 57. Cafe Latte is a hot spot for American eats and house-made desserts in a cafeteria-style setup plus a pizza and wine bar. Cafe Latte believes ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Dine in at the restaurant off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Yeah, it's good. This Queer Book Saved My Life is an exceptional podcast. You've heard it here on AM 950. Joining me right now is the host of that podcast, J.P. Dare Bohosian. He is kind enough to take some time today and talk about the podcast, the new season, the new format, too. We get to talk about that. And kind of the importance of what you're doing. JP, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
No, this is a no-brainer, man. This is, I've got a lot of questions about the origin and kind of the genesis of this, but I want to just kind of start off for everyone out there. What was your experience before you started doing this? What was your background?
My back. Ooh, wow, that's a long story. But I used to work in broadcasting, broadcast TV, for 10 years, where I got a lot of the skill set, I think, developed to put on a podcast and record it. And then I worked in LGBTQ health equity for a number of years here in the state of Minnesota, trying to advance that, working with a variety of different clinics and health insurance companies, medical academic degree programs. And then I also spent some time working in higher education and in a variety of chief diversity officer roles. So
I got to imagine working in the LGBTQ in the health on the health sector, that at least it was more receptive here than other states where, you know, you bring this up and it's, you know, it's no from the beginning here, at least in Minnesota and other states. There are other states as well where common sense and decency rule. But imagine it was a little bit easier to do that job back in that day because Minnesota was a little bit more open-minded.
Yes, it was. And I think, though, the data that we collected, there was a community health survey that we did, and about every year we did it, about 2% of respondents would tell us that they had been denied care because they were LGBTQ. So that was really terrifying even to see that on such a consistent basis. But yes, Minnesota on the whole, the degree programs, the clinics, the major health systems, I did a whole like transgender health conference, a day-long thing for Fairview mHealth a number of years ago. So that was really exciting to be able to work with folks because they were very much, and Minnesota has really proven itself a leader in this, I think, throughout the country as well. So particularly with the Minnesota LGBTQ Standards of Inclusion that this organization created with the Bush Foundation.
You obviously bring the resume, the credentials here. You came across, I'm going to flatter you here, because you came across an idea that I mean, anyone can come on. I mean, there's podcasts about, you know, murders and sports and betting and all these things. you actually came up with the concept of explaining to people who are not necessarily going to read these books why these books are important, delivered in a style which basically, just listening to your podcast, it becomes wildly apparent why these books should be available everywhere. Where did that idea come from?
I think the idea came from is that I spent a lot of time reading as an individual and developing this passion for recognizing that books were more sometimes than just, you know, a beach read or, you know, a good thrilling read, that there was a really important component to them. And when we started having all of the book bans happening across the country, and when I was seeing books that I liked being banned out of schools or out of public libraries, I was thinking, well, wait a minute, there is a value here that I don't think, to your point, that people are talking about. So I thought, well, if I invite queer guests to come onto the show and talk about what is this book, right? What were the life-saving features that it had for you? And life-saving is different for every guest that comes on. For some of them, it was the language to be able to come out to their family. For some, it was to begin their gender affirmation process. For some, it was the language to, or the framework, the tools, the skill set to process an abusive relationship that they had. So it really varies from guest to guest. And we bring them on and we tell them, you know, what is it? What was it about this book? What were the, you know, the themes, the skills that you got out of that? And then we bring the author in, because having, you know, worked in LGBTQ health equity, having worked in broadcasting, like, I know that authors getting their stories out into the world is hard to do. And so I wanted to talk to the author, like, what did it take to get this book out there? What did you have to navigate? How did the book writing it changed you as an individual? And then to bring everybody together in that same conversation, to have the guest who's had this book save their life talking to that author has been really remarkable. You know, it's great. I just get to sit back, turn my microphone off, and let them just talk to each other, which is really exciting to see that moment happen between them.
It's fascinating because we as a culture, and I'll bring up the one when I was a kid growing up, you know, it was the one that so many girls read, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. You know, it was very, you know, common book. It was one of these things that helped girls, you know, as they were growing up. And it was kind of a benchmark there. And whereas you can say that to a lot of people, it's like, oh, you remember, you name a book from your youth that was important to you. Yeah. When it comes to books for the LGBTQIA plus community, that when you bring that kind of comment up, there just is a disconnect that, well, no, I, even though I had books and they helped me get through it, they don't need books. Mm-hmm. And so by doing it, it's seriously, it's kind of this mentality. It's like, you're kind of stupid. But by what you do very, you know, sneakily, if I can just say, is you basically just, no, this is just like anyone else going through whatever the case may be. You know, you're going through puberty, you're starting to date, you're having a hard time trying to figure out what college you're going to. There's always books that resonate, and especially kids that read a lot, there are books there. The same exact thing goes for any person, regardless of who they are, what their race is, their religion, their background, their sexual identity. Having that base and well, I think that that's the thing which is the incredible teachable moment about your podcast, is you have the ability to basically show these people who are insisting that these people don't need these books, that no, just like they needed their books, the community, having these books available for the community, there is an incredible need and a purpose behind it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And a number of the books actually that we feature on the show, and it's not us featuring them, we recruit the guests and the guests come and tell us right what the book is, mm-hmm. but a number of those books are actually firsts. It's the first time that a book like that is in the world. And so I think that does speak to where we're moving as a country and the publishing sector, is that we're able to finally have these books that are in the world. You can't read what isn't there. And so it's really important, I think, to also acknowledge that we're finally getting these books published. And it is so life-saving, finally, to go into a library, whether that's your school library, your public library, to go into a bookstore, your indie bookstore, and say, oh my gosh, there is a book that reflects my life in a way that I didn't necessarily get from other books. And so it's really, we're living in a really powerful moment right now. And I like to share with folks that, yes, we have a massive slew of book bans that are happening across the country. And it's very terrifying to see that. But we also have record sales happening right now with LGBTQ fiction. And also what's driving that, young adult fiction is really driving that right now. And what we're seeing in young adult LGBTQ fiction and books is actually, I think, the most revolutionary right now, because they're doing things that authors haven't been able to do before in a space that there's a big market for young readers right now. They want to read this.
Well, and if I can say, hey, idiots trying to do book bans, you know what you're doing is you're letting everyone know about the books you're trying to ban. And everyone wants to read them now.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've done the absolute polar opposite of what you were trying to do. Now, you said you have guests come in. I got to believe you got guests begging to come on your show. And I mean, is it easier to recruit now? Is this season three you're in now? Or season four?
We actually just stopped doing seasons because it was going for so long. We're like, let's just go into infinity here.
When you initially started, obviously you probably had to recruit people and say, I need you to come and do this. Are you having that problem now? Or are a lot of people coming to you saying, no, I got a book I got to talk to you about? The show is set because you have someone reaching out to you saying, no, get me and this author on the air.
I think it's a mixture actually of the two. So I think that we do have a lot more folks who know of the show now and they're reaching out to us through social media, through our website, and they're saying, hey, I want to be on the show. We also do some guest recruitment because we want to make sure that we're still intentional of the full rainbow, right, that we have a variety of different stories that are ensured to be, you know, that we're reflective as well of the large audience that's out there that want to read these books. And so we want to make sure that that's reflective of them.
Are the authors, I mean, when it comes to the authors, and you get in touch with them, most of the time I imagine, as you said, it's, and I do enough author interviews here, it's like, you want me to talk on air? Sure, I'll be there. Sometimes not the case, though. I mean, I have had some people that are like, I don't want anyone to know about the book I've just published. Okay, you know, all right. Talk about the reaction you get from the authors, and that when you call them up and say, hey, I've got a fan, I want to feature on this and feature this book. You know, is most of the time it's like in a heartbeat, tell me where and when, sort of thing?
There are a number that are like that. They absolutely want to talk with, not only about their book, they want to talk to this guest. You know, I think a lot of the authors are having this very profound moment, being able to sit in a room or a virtual studio and hear a reader talking about not just what a fun read it was, but like, this is saving to me and this is how it saved me. And thank you for putting out, you know, writing this book and putting it onto the world. So we have a lot of authors that are having that profound moment. And then some authors are actually, the books have been out for a while, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in some instances. And so I think they're also like, wow, like people are still reading my book and they're still getting this out of it. And so I think they're also having that kind of moment of seeing how a book lives out in the world beyond what the author has done. And so I think it's really fun for them to come back to the book and come back to the process and see what it, you know, what it did for these readers, and also to reflect for them on how they're different now in writing the book and what they think about it. And I always ask authors, I'm like, if you had to, you know, do it all over again, what would that be like, you know? And it's a fun, you know, interesting take for them to go, oh yeah, well, if I did it, you know, wrote it now, I'd have to kind of change, you know, these particular things. Like, I remember we had a New York Times bestseller, Jennifer Finney Boylan, who wrote a memoir about being, you know, a trans woman. And now she goes, I was basically writing that for my Republican mom and her bridge club. And she's like, but if I wrote that today, you know, she's like, when I look at it now, it kind of felt like apology, like I'm apologizing about this. She's like, today I would write it completely different. It would be unapologetic. And I would absolutely be like, this is what it is. I'm not apologizing for who I am. And, you know, let's find a way of moving forward.
Well, when you bring that point up, I mean, is it important to you to try to get books from 20 years ago? Because it does show how the culture has changed, and that it was, I'm sorry, I don't mean to upset you, this is just who I am, to a person that's like, nope, this is who I am, and that's it. Is it nice to be able to have books that were been published over the last, say, 30 years or so, so you have that kind of, this is what it used to be like?
Yeah, we've even had, I mean, we've gone even further back than that. We've had some James Baldwin, Thomas Mann, so stuff that's considered classic LGBTQ literature, and it's really interesting because a lot of those guests are, you know, older LGBTQ folks now within the community. So to hear their stories talking about it, and in some way it's really, I think, important for younger listeners because they're hearing about these books that came out 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, and they're hearing like, wow, this is something that it happens. You know, I'm not the only one that's felt this way. I'm part of a community, and that community has existed for, you know, much longer than the last 5 years, right? And so I think it's important for folks, for those books to be featured on the show as well, because we see the history of the queer community.
J.P. Darbohosian is joining us right now. I'll let this queer book save my life. We have a book ban somewhere in the South where they're taking a book off the shelf because the man's last name is gay. Mm-hmm. Not because the book has anything to do with LGBTQ rights, but that's where it is. We do live in a bit of a better society here. There was the county books down the south side here where basically they wanted them to remove books, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. We actually had a charter school up in the North Metro where there was pressure to remove these books. And I was very impressed with the response saying, no, there are kids in this school that need these books. We also had that, in not necessarily with the book per se, but the Drag Queen Story Hour out in Chaska, where the people were trying to shout that down and shut that down. The reality is that we have a lot of common sense here that basically says just because you don't like a book doesn't mean you don't want to read it. Trust me, Clive Cussler, no, I'm not reading any more of his books. I mean, he started, when you keep putting yourself in the book, what are you doing? Just, no, I'm done reading you. That being said, I can easily avoid that. There almost seems to be this dehumanization element going on.
Absolutely.
Here. That is, they're not really human, so we don't have to have the books there. And that's, I guess, one of the things which I'm glad about with Minnesota is that we're not falling for what you're seeing work in other places, is that at least here, there is the common sense, like, no. Just because you don't want the book doesn't mean other people don't. And so we're not going to allow you to make decisions for other people.
I sometimes get frustrated. We always hear about Florida. But nobody's talking about Minnesota and the great things, to your point, that we're doing. And, like, Minnesota gives me hope to live in as a queer person in this country. Like, you want to be in Minnesota as much so as a California or, you know, New England. And I wish that we got more credit. I wish we got as much airtime and newsprint about what we're doing here, because we really are the antithesis to Florida. And that's really important to know. But also, I want to say that, you know, the book bans are very coordinated by a very small number of people. You know, the Washington Post found out, they released it this year, a report. They looked at 37 states, the book challenges there, 11 people.
Mm.
11 people were behind those. And so we're dealing maybe not with such a wide, you know, ranging desire. We have a very small group of people who are very extreme and who, you know, and their viewpoints, and also thinking that queerness is a choice. You know, we see a lot of that as well in the why they're trying to ban things, that they're like, well, if my children read this book, they're going to choose to be gay. They're going to choose to be trans. And so if we get rid of them, then they'll never learn how to do that, which is, you know.
It's based on ignorance. And and this is where I'll come in, because that's a big key of it. They don't want people thinking, well, when I grew up, I read this author and that helped me through this, so they should be able to too. They don't want the people to think about it that way. They want to think about it as, this has got to be stopped. And so it's the entire argument is banked on ignorance. And this is why I think Minnesota and some other states as well kind of get past this, is because we're not big on ignorance here. We're not big on ignorance. And don't get me wrong, there are can I tell you some stories? There are some ignorant people here. But at the same time, as a society, you know, there does seem to be this mentality, is just, you know, because I'm not comfortable with something doesn't mean it doesn't exist and it doesn't have a right to exist. Mm-hmm. And this idea of just getting rid of all the books, even though they are helping people, and that is the key, it's helping people with their own life. That's a godsend.
And not just queer people.
A lot of people. Yeah, family,
literally,
mom, parents,
yesterday, I had a listener who identifies as a cis straight male, and he called in and he goes, I have a family member and I don't know what to do, and I listened to the podcast and we've interacted on social media, and they're like, can I just have a conversation? And I was like, yeah, let's have a conversation about that. So I think it's also been very interesting to see the family members and friends of queer people listening to the show and reading these books and reaching out to us as well to go, oh, I now kind of get what they're going through, and I think I can be a better family member, I can be a better friend to them because I've listened to the episode and I've also read the book now.
Yeah, and basically, if they're trying to, their whole thing is about fear, and the reality is this is, we should be about welcoming and acceptance and unity and compassion, and that's what we should be as a society, for goodness sakes. I can only dream we can have that as a society. And I think it's so important. Like I said, you pulled off a neat trick here, it's not a trick, and I don't want to diminish it or this, but what you have done is brilliant. It's important. That's a big key, as opposed to the Howler Monkey exhibit. That's my show. Yours is what you're doing is very important, and I can't commend you enough. I think you're doing a magnificent job, and I'm so I mean, so geeked to be able to chat with you because you're doing something which there are so many people who couldn't figure out a way to do it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it effectively, and I think that that's just amazing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, so if you're listening to me and you have not heard This Queer Book Saved My Life, how can people, I mean, pretty much available every podcast place, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, thisqueerbook.com if you want to go there, and you can search for This Queer Book Saved My Life on any, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Google Podcasts, all of those different areas. So, yeah.
All right. Absolutely. And thisqueerbook.com, I'll link to everything. I'll link to this webpage. And then once again, just go to your podcast page, type it in. It will be there. JP, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming by today.
Thank you.
And you come back anytime, please, please.
Well, I can say that I've been on a number, promoting the podcast on a number of outlets. And when I tell like friends like, hey, you know, I've been on, you know, da 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 da, they're always like, oh, great, good for you. When I told them I was coming here, though, I literally saw their eyes like light up like, no way. So, you know, the work that you do is really important. And
are you
I know
sure it's not a no
friends,
way in a bad thing?
Like, no, oh. They're very excited. They were like, really? No way. That's so cool. So, yeah.
C-SPAN 3 is say. JP Terbose has got enough to join us. This Queer Book Saved My Life. It is an important podcast. Regardless who you are, listen to it. It is really spectacular. Congratulations on the non-season starter, just continuing with the new format. JP, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If your home was hit with the most recent storms, trust the most well-reviewed exterior construction company, Snap Construction, for a free home inspection.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. There are a lot of great construction companies in town. My advice is to take your time and do your research. Make sure they are locally owned and that they guarantee their craftsmanship for life. Also, you want to find a company that's been in business for at least 10 years. You want to work with a company that's going to be there long after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims, and we'll help you through the process.
Don't go with the out-of-town, fly-by-night contractor. Most storm damage goes missed by the untrained eye. Trust Snap Construction for your free storm damage evaluation. For your free storm damage evaluation, call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit them online at snapconstruction.com. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or snapconstruction.com.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Secretary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wa!
J.P. Derbohosian. This Queer Book Saved My Life. That's an important podcast, people. That is an important podcast. It takes every person you ever knew, and I brought up the "Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret." Every kid I knew growing up had a book like that. Worn cover. They read it multiple times. You know, they found solace in it. They found a relatability to it. Allowing people to have books like that is a good thing. It helps them. It helps us as a society. And frankly, if you're one of these people who sits out there and says, no, they shouldn't have it, you definitely need to listen to this podcast a few times. You really do. I'll challenge you on that. I'll challenge you. Go listen to that podcast. If you don't, then it's not about, you know, anything legitimate. It's just basically about, you know, trying to use hate and fear as a political weapon. But if you do, I'll give you credit for it. And the reality is you'll probably walk away really quick and saying, oh, now I get it. 952-946-6205, still 4-0. Astros, once again, they jumped on Gray early with an error as well and thrown in there to get four runs in the first. And They're showing the plate discipline of a Little League home run derby at this point. So, this is... hey, we still got tomorrow, too. That's a 1 o'clock start time. I tell you what, we'll take a break. Come on back. We've got Max Nesterak next hour right here on The Shoe.
Hi, this is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, Minnesota's only minority-owned union printing company. And I have big news. We've moved. Our new building in North Minneapolis is much larger with state-of-the-art equipment. That means we can get your projects done faster. We're on Washington Avenue North off I-94 at the Dowling exit, which allows for quick pickup and drop-off with plenty of free parking. And yes, we still print everything. I moved to MP Uptown because as a black business owner, I want to be in North Minneapolis and help provide jobs. At MP Uptown, we pay above living wages, hire people who have made mistakes in the past, and believe in social justice. We have over 175 Google reviews with a 5-star rating. Let us handle your next print project because when you support our business, you support the community. Call 612-870.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.